So, everybody, did anybody miss this morning service? If you missed it, it was great. Roger gave a really good lesson, and for all those out there on YouTube land who may be watching this recording, I highly encourage you to go to our church's YouTube channel or Facebook page and stream that lesson from this morning. I was actually going to make a joke that they initially wanted Roger to preach this morning to kind of warm up the crowd, and then I was going to be the main headliner tonight, but he set a pretty high bar there, so he's kind of a tough act to follow. But when Mike asked me to preach tonight, I was excited to, and I knew instantly what it was that I wanted to talk about, because it's been a topic that's been kind of heavy on my heart recently, and I've been thinking and dwelling a lot on, and I don't think I'm the only one, because let's face it, these last few years have been pretty tough. In fact, I can't remember a time in my life that we as a nation and as a world have had more stressors being put on us, one right after the another. It's just kind of never ending. And I'm not saying at all that this is the worst time in history. There are some people who are probably old enough to remember the Great Depression, where people were literally dying of starvation. Others probably remember World War II and the great uncertainty with that. Some of you may have been around when the draft was being done for Vietnam or even Korea, and watching your birth date and your number coming up and watching your classmates die. So I'm not saying that this is the worst time in history ever. I'm just saying in my 48 years of life, I can't remember a more constant bombardment and continuous bombardment of negativity. I mean, it started out with COVID, and then that went to Omicron, and then we had Delta, and then we had flatten the curve for 2 weeks that turned into 2 years of isolation. We've had riots, both racial riots and election riots. Remember the murder hornets? Yeah, thankfully those didn't come out to fruition like a lot of people feared. But we've had massive wildfires, both Australia. Was it last year that Australia burned? But we've had big wildfires here in our state, in our region. Just the hill, they're going up to Bonnie Lake, burned a couple years ago. Some of us may even, I know we were 5 blocks from the mandatory evacuation route, or the evacuation area. We've been watching violent crime that seems like it's on the rise. And it's not just violent crime, but it's like senseless violent crime that we're seeing. Violent crime that just has no meaning, no purpose, no reason for it. It's just being done out of the name of evilness. We've watched friends and family get laid off from our jobs, or perhaps maybe even you were laid off from your job. We've had financial insecurities. And if you were an essential worker, then you were probably working more than you wanted to work, and you were probably working with protective equipment that wasn't adequate for what you really needed to do your job. And let's face it, we're all sick of wearing masks. And I don't care whether you're for masks, against masks, whether you're for mandates, against mandates, or anything in between. I think we're all sick of wearing those things. Amen. But if you're here tonight and you're listening to this, congratulations, you have survived it all. And your word for surviving it is, here's a good portion of World War III coming on us. We've got the 24-hour news cycle that's continuing to bombard us with this negativity. And that's just the global stuff I've talked about. We all have internal struggles. We have personal hardships. We have internal toils and difficulties that we're dealing with. And I see the stress level on the rise, and I see the angst, and I see the anxiety in this planet. I see it in this nation. I see it in this community. I've seen it in the people, some of the people here in this congregation, and I've seen it in my own life. We are tense, we are stressed, our hearts are very heavy. They are burdensome, they are troubled. But the good news is, God does not want us to be troubled. He does not want us to be living with this angst and anxiety. He wants us, he wants our hearts, he wants us to be filled with peace, but not just any peace, he wants it to be filled with his peace. Philippians 4, 6 through 7, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and pleading with thanksgiving, let your requests be made to known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. John 14:27, peace I leave you, my peace I give you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Do not let your hearts be troubled nor fearful. And Romans 5:13, now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that you will abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. I know what you're thinking though, but God, don't you see what's going on in this world? Don't you see what's happening? I know many people are asking this. People's hearts are torn, and how can they not be? How can you look at the news? How can you look at what's going on in Europe and not having your hearts being tugged on? Not having that affect you? People are asking, God, where are you? Why, God, are you letting this happen? And that can be answered in Job. Job 11:7-11. Can you discover the depths of God? Can you discover the limits of the Almighty? They are as high as the heavens. What can you do? Deeper than Sheol, what can you know? Its measurement is longer than the earth and broader than the sea. If he passes by or apprehends people or calls an assembly, who can resist him? For he knows false people and he sees injustice without investigating. There. Feel better? You should. All your anxieties should now be put to rest. Your heart should be calm. What? These are very motivational verses. These are very inspiring verses. I have a daily motivational calendar that tells me that these are very uplifting and reassuring. So when you read those, you should all be uplifted and reassured. I guess I'm done early. We can probably just sing a song and go home now. No? Okay. I know. I forgot my slide. Here we go. I've put it on a tranquil background, and I've made the lettering kind of pretty and added some nice warm colors. So now you feel better when you read it like that. Totally makes a difference, right? No, when you're having internal struggles, when you're having anguish and pain in your heart, just throwing a verse at you isn't going to do it. If throwing a verse at you did do it, then we could just put them in some fortune cookies and hand them out to everybody and call it a day. What we need to do, though, and what I hope to do today is unwrap these a little bit more, bring a little bit of depth to them, and let's look at them with a little bit more than just a superficial reading, more than just a daily motivational calendar reading. Now, how do we do that? Well, and I apologize, I added a slide at the last minute and I didn't get it onto my PowerPoint that I sent. But we gain understanding by drawing closer to God and by growing in our knowledge and understanding of God. We grow in grace and peace when we draw closer to God, when we learn more about God. And so to do that, let's take some time and let's focus on some of the attributes of God. Now, each one of these, we could do a whole separate sermon on and a whole separate lesson. I don't have time for that, so we're going to be going kind of quick. I'm going to be throwing a lot of verses at you. Hopefully, I don't speak too quickly. Bear with me. But God is omnipotent. God is all-powerful. Psalm 33:6. By the word of the Lord, the heavens were made, and by the breath of his mouth, all their lights. Revelations 1:8, I am the Alpha and I am the Omega, says the Lord God, who is, who was, and who is to come, the Almighty. Ephesians 3:20, now to him who is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us. See, God can do all he wants to do. God's plans always come together just as he planned. And Paul tells us again in Ephesians that God is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or can imagine of him. God is all-powerful. God is also all-present. He's omnipresent. God is everywhere all the time. Psalm 139, 7 through 10. Where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, behold, you are there. If I take up the wings of the dawn, if I dwell in the remotest part of the sea, even there your hand will lead me, and your right hand will take hold of me. The fullness of God, the fullness of his presence, is all around us all the time. And it's around us in a very real way. That doesn't mean that there won't be times when you feel alone. And you will. But you can rest assured that God is there with you. And he knows what you are going through. He knows what is troubling you. He knows what difficulties you have in your life. And that is because God is omniscient. God is all-knowing. Psalm 147, 5. Great is our Lord and mighty in power. His understanding has no limit. Isaiah 46:10, I make known the end from the beginning, from ancient times, what is still to come. God knows everything, including God knows himself. And he knows himself perfectly and completely. And God is the source. He is the creator. God is the designer. He is the author of all things. Amen. God knows all that can be known. And he knows it with fullness and perfection. And God knows it with completeness. And that includes everything that you may have gone through, everything that you are going through, and everything that you will go through. God knows, God understands. God is all wise, full of complete and unchanging wisdom. Romans 11:33. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and unfathomable his ways. At one time, it was said that knowledge is power. And then somebody changed that and they said, no, applied knowledge is power. You may have a car, and if you want to get from point A to point B, you can put an engine in that car, you can tune that car, you can port it, you can polish it, you can balance and blueprint the engine, you can have that engine running at peak perfection, you can rev up the RPMs, but if you don't apply that engine, you're not going to go anywhere. If you don't connect that engine to a drive shaft and a transmission, all you're going to do is rev your RPMs and make a lot of noise. You have to apply that knowledge. We've also said that knowledge is knowing that a tomato is fruit. Wisdom is knowing not to put it in fruit salad. Wisdom is knowing all the facts and making the best decisions. And God can see the beginning from the end. There is no guessing for God. There's no room for conjecture. God is all-knowing. He isn't learning anymore. He's not guessing. We're learning. We don't have complete knowledge. But God is not learning. God cannot be more wise. He will always be doing the wisest thing in our lives and the wisest thing on this earth. Amen. We probably won't understand why and the reasons. We most likely won't, but God knows. There are no plans that we can make that are better than God can make. We have under us what's called the law of unintended consequences. We can make plans to do one thing and something else negative happens that we didn't foresee, that we didn't know about, that we didn't anticipate. That's the law of unintended consequences. That doesn't apply to God. God doesn't have that. God is faithful. God is true to his word. 2 Timothy 2:13. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. And Romans 8:28. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him. God is true to his word. You can rely on God without hesitation, without doubt. He won't forget his promises. He won't change his promises on us. He won't change his mind or take back his promises. So when Paul says, all things are good, all things God works for, I'm sorry, we can trust Paul when he said, in all things God works for the good of those who love him.
Amen.
Sometimes we don't see it. Sometimes his faithfulness may even look like abandonment. How can God allow his children to suffer? How can God allow his children to hurt or his children to die? But we can take comfort that he has not forgotten us. He has not forgotten them. He is aware of what is going on, and God, in his infinite wisdom, is making the best decisions. And God's faithfulness comes for the love that he has for us. I changed my slides around. Here we go. But again, that was my final draft, which is sitting on my computer, not this one. God is loving. 1 John 4:7-8. Beloved, let's love one another, for love is from God, and everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. The one who does not love does not know God, because God is love.
Amen.
I'm sure you're all familiar with this verse, 1 Corinthians 13, and I had a really nice slide with it on. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud, it does not dishonor others, it is not self-seeking, it is not easily angered, it keeps no record of wrong, it does not delight in evil, but rejoices in truth, it always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres, love never fails. When we say that God is love, that is what God is. There in 1 Corinthians. The love of God is eternal. The love of God is sovereign. It's unchanging, and the love of God is infinite. His love is active, and it's drawing us to him. His love is personal, and God wants our love. God doesn't just love humanity either, of which we are a part of, but it's not just humanity as a whole God loves. God loves every one of us, every one of us individually. He loves me, he loves you. And he loves you with a love that has no end. God is good. God is kind and full of goodwill. Psalm 34:8, and I really love this psalm. Taste and see that the Lord is good. What I really like about this, the psalmist isn't just telling us to look and see if God is good. He's inviting us to taste for it ourselves, to experience God's goodness. Not just look, because looks can be deceiving. I remember a time, I was probably around 16 or 17 years old, and I was at a potluck. And it was the usual potluck foods. I think it was a memorial, but I'm not for sure certain. But I was at this potluck, and I'm going through the line, and I see over there on the dessert table that somebody had bought this, that brought this big tray of homemade apple cobbler. And I love apple cobbler. And I was excited to get me some apple cobbler. And being a 17-year-old, I made a beeline for that, and I took a big spoonful of that cobbler and stuck it on my plate. And most likely, I probably took a second spoonful and stuck it on my plate, because I was 17 and didn't care about the people behind me. And I went to the table, and I sat down, and my mouth was ready for some apple cobbler, and my stomach was telling me it wanted some apple cobbler. And even though I had one of those little plastic spoons that's at every single potluck, when you're a 17-year-old, you're surprised at how much food you can fit on that little spoon. And I took a big mouth of that apple cobbler, and I got it in there, and I realized that it was not apple cobbler. No, it was rhubarb nastiness. And, you know, it's one of those stories from my childhood I still remember. That's how traumatizing it was. And I know, somebody out there, even my mother if she's listening, somebody out there might be saying, but rhubarb is good. And if you think rhubarb is good, just understand that you're wrong and I'm right on this. I saw something that looked good, but when I experienced it and when I tasted it, it was not good. But when God gives you apple cobbler, when he shows you apple cobbler, you can rest assured it is the best tasting apple cobbler you will ever have. God's goodness doesn't just look good. You can experience it for yourself. Unfortunately, though, in our lives and the way we are, we tend to affirm the goodness of God only when things are going well. And we question it when life takes a nosedive. And I don't have it up here because it's another slide I added later on. In verse 19 of the same psalm, it was written from a place of suffering. And again, I apologize that I don't have that psalm memorized, but it says that the author is suffering much when the psalm is being written. So bad things are still going to happen to good people. Bad things are going to happen to us, even though God is good. But the Lord will rescue us. God's infinite wisdom knows what is best for us. Or to put in other terms, God's infinite wisdom knows what is goodest for us. The Lord will always be with us, and he will always remain faithful to us. God is a God of justice. He is a God of fairness. Deuteronomy 32:4, the rock. His work is perfect, for all his ways are just. A God of faithfulness and without injustice, righteous and just as he. God isn't just fair. God always does what is right and what is good towards all men. And there is no judge out there that is more fair than God. God cannot be bribed. He cannot be bought. God cannot be tempted. And we know because Satan tried to tempt God. God is merciful. He is a compassionate and kind God. Titus 3:5. He saved us not on the basis of deeds, which we did in righteousness, but in accordance with his mercy. He is forgiving. He is loving. He is kind towards us. He is compassionate. And his mercy is undeserved. Romans 3:23 says, for all, that includes you, that includes me, all have sinned and fall short on the glory of God. Later on in Romans on 6:23, the wages of sin is death. But it's because of God's mercy that we do not get what we deserve. God is gracious. Psalm 145:8, the Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and great in mercy. Now, if mercy is not getting what we deserve, grace is getting what we don't deserve.
Amen.
Now, God has two kinds of grace for us. There's the common grace that is available for all of mankind, and then there is his saving grace. Common grace says that all man can experience the goodness of God and the blessings of this world. We just went on vacation recently, and we saw a lot of beautiful sunsets. And I think we can all agree, sunsets are beautiful. Sunsets are a blessing of God. Everybody gets to enjoy a sunset. It doesn't matter how bad you are, you can look at a sunset. It doesn't matter how many crimes you are, you can be in a jail cell, and as long as your cell faces westward and has a window, you can avoid, you can enjoy a sunset. You know, they say that it doesn't matter how gangster you are, how thuggish you are, what kind of a rap sheet you have, what kind of crimes you've done. If a two-year-old walks up to you and hands you a toy phone, you're going to answer that. Why is that? Because no matter who you are, you can enjoy the goodness and the love that a child brings. You can enjoy the snuggles of a puppy dog as it licks your face, whether you're a good person, whether you're a bad person. But only those who repent and are baptized for the forgiveness of their sins will receive God's saving eternal grace.
Amen.
So, now that we have a little bit of a better understanding of God's character and who God is, and I've kind of just touched even the superficially these characteristics, because again, each one could be their own sermon.
Amen.
But let's try and take a look at those verses again, and maybe that will bring a little bit more depth to it. And I've added my own commentary on it in red. Philippians 4, 6 through 7. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer. And that right there, prayer, that's one of the key points of this whole verse as well. Everything by prayer, with thanksgiving, let your requests made be known to God, the all-powerful God, the God who sees all, the God who knows all, the God who has perfect wisdom. Let your requests be made known to that God. And the peace of God, the God who is faithful, the God who is true to his word, the God of justice, the God of mercy, the God of grace. The peace of that God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. John 14, 27, peace I leave you, my peace, God's peace, a peace rooted in faithfulness, love, perfect wisdom, goodness, justice, mercy, and grace. That peace God gives you, not as the world gives you, because the world cannot give you that kind of peace. I cannot give you that kind of peace. Only God can give you that kind of peace. Not as the world gives you, do I give to you. Do not let your hearts be troubled nor fearful. Romans 15, 13. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that you will abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. The all-powerful, all-knowing, all-faithful Holy Spirit, who is full of goodness, justice, mercy, grace, and love. And finally, as we reflect upon this world and what we see happening in this world, we can look at Job 11, 7 through 11. Can you discover the depths of God? Well, no, because as we've discussed, God's all-powerful, all-knowing. Can you discover the limits of the Almighty? They are as high as the heavens. What can you do? Deeper than Sheol, what can you know? Its measurement is longer than the earth and broader than the sea. If he passes by or apprehends people or calls an assembly, who can restrain him? For he knows false people and he sees injustice without investigating. He knows false people. Nothing is being hidden from God. There are no conversations being had. There is no planning. There is no plotting that God is not aware of. There is no evil he isn't seeing. There is nothing that he does not know. There were no plans that were pulled over on God. The wool did not get pulled over God's eyes. God is not up in heaven slapping his forehead going, I did not see that coming. Wow, they fooled me. It's not a conversation he's having with himself. There is no evil he is not seeing. And the God of justice, the God of goodness, the God of love, the God of faithfulness will deal with the injustices that are going on and the evil that's being perpetuated. But he will do it according to his complete knowledge and his perfect wisdom. And it is because of that faithfulness that we can be assured that we can have God's peace that he gives us, that we cannot be anxious for anything, and we can be filled with all joy and peace. I hope this has helped you. It has me, especially over the last few weeks. And if you are stressed, if you're troubled, if you're having internal turmoil, I hope that focusing on God and his greatness and his attributes and who God is, I hope that that can help to bring an internal peace and God's peace to you, because I know it does for me. If you would like to know more about the peace of God, if you want to know more about why we believe what we believe, if you want to be baptized and have your sins washed away, come talk to me afterwards. Talk to one of our elders, talk to one of our deacons. If you don't know who they are, ask the person next to you. And if you would like to have the prayers of the saints, come forward as we sing this closing song. Thank you.